What gives you goosebumps, listener? Is it the 90s kid horror of R.L. Stine? The anti-fascist tales of the Animorphs? Or did your parents let you watch even more messed up stuff? I'm Chad Kwan, the host of Goosebuds. I invite comedians and creatives to come on and talk about a classic piece of media that gave them goosebumps. It could be horror movies like The Faculty or Poltergeist, cursed kids media like The Bionicle Movie or Grandpa's Magical Toys. And yeah, sometimes we read a Goosebumps or Fear Street book. Goosebuds is about loving weird old media and laughing about hidden horrors. Check out Goosebuds wherever podcasts are.
Greetings, travelers! Yeah, I'm flying solo, but this isn't one of my mini-sodes. We're doing a full episode, but Erica is on the road getting ready for Smoky Mountain Bigfoot this weekend, which will be this Saturday, July 26th at the Gatlinburg, at the conference center there. Hopefully I can be there, doing my best to get there. But Erica will definitely be there with our new book, Dark Side of the Smoky Mountains. We'll have preview copies there. And we're excited to be part of it. It's one of our favorite events every year. But this year, one of the guests there is going to be coming on in just a second. And I hope you all enjoy him because this guy is a lot of fun. He has a bundle of energy. And he definitely brings a fresh breath of air to the Bigfoot community. So let's bring on, without further ado, Harley Owens.
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
Good. Good to see you, man. It's been a bit. The last time I saw you was at the Great Florida Bigfoot Conference, right?
Yeah, we've seen each other at Georgia Bigfoot, and then we've seen each other in Florida.
Yep. So we hit the same sphere there, so a little bit. So
Yeah.
Now, you're part of the roundtable discussion, right, of the local hunters in the Smoky Mountains.
Yes, and I'm extremely honored to be a part of that. You know, there's a lot of big names on there, and I'm pretty fortunate to be a part of it. And you know, I've kind of picked up where Scott Carpenter had left off. You know, I kind of picked up the torch, and
that's good.
It's been a journey, man.
All right. Well, for those that don't know you, some of our travelers may not know you. So, give them who is Harley Owens.
Yeah. I'm 25 years old. I was born and raised in East Tennessee. I now live in Middle Tennessee, outside of Nashville. So I've traded my mountains for the land between the lakes. It's definitely different living out here. I'm a lineman. I work on the power lines, and I do Bigfoot and cryptid research. You know, I kind of initially thought it was just Bigfoot, but I've come to find out there's a lot more than just Bigfoot when you're out there looking. I got humbled into believing Bigfoot existed. Growing up, you know, life was seemingly normal. I worked on my family farm for most of my life growing up, and I fished on the high school fishing team. And, you know, Bigfoot was really the last thing on my mind. I never really thought they existed. The only thing I believed in was the Black Panthers, you know, because we always heard them screaming, you know, and there's always pictures floating around from the trail camera and the stories. Yep. And Bigfoot was just one of those things that I never really thought about. The first time that I ever heard about Bigfoot, we had 15 or 16 hogs that we were getting ready to take off to the slaughterhouse. And one night they were all just screaming and squalling, and next thing we know, the next morning my dad went to go check on them, and every one of them were unalived and just torn to shreds. Nothing ate on them. They were just killed for sport, essentially. And that it was either that same day that the hogs got killed or the day after was the day that a Bigfoot was apparently shot and was put in a freezer chest in Georgia. Well, that turned out to be a hoax. And then that kind of made me realize, okay, well, maybe Bigfoot's just a joke. Well, September 23rd of 2020, that changed everything for me. I went out to Pound, Virginia. I worked for the auction company at that time named Tri-State Auction and Realty. And I remember distinctly, I was up there for 2 weeks. And the week prior, I met the owner of this place. You know, I kind of talked with him, you know, kind of figure out what he wanted to sell and what he kind of wanted to keep. And he was telling us about this bear that was coming into the sawmill. And I was like, is it a pretty good sized bear? He's like, yeah, he's a pretty good sized bear. But what he said next just stuck with me. He said, there's far worse things in the woods than him. And I was like, okay, copperheads, rattlesnakes, a pack of coyotes, right, and the Black Panthers. That's the least of my worries. You know, I'm like, I kind of know how to fend for myself there. But a bear, you know, a black bear, you can scare off. You know, you just make yourself look bigger than them. But if it's a grizzly, you play dead. You know, thank goodness we don't have grizzly bears here. But, you know, I was like, what in the world is this? What's this old guy talking about? What's worse than that? So going on through the rest of that week, nothing happened. And the auction was on a Saturday. My boss came up to me and he asked if I wanted to stay up there for another week. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. So Sunday rolls around, and that morning it was raining, and I went out to the job site to get stuff done so maybe I could leave earlier in the week. So I get out there, I hop on the skid steer, I'm taking my time, you know, driving the skid steer around, loading up pallets, moving them around, and I get to the point where I'm done, and I start walking around the wood line, and I'm sitting there looking around, it's wet and muddy, and I come across a trackway, and I'm sitting here and I'm looking at these tracks and I'm like, that's a Bigfoot. You know, I'm 6'6". Mark will tell you I'm tall.
Yeah, no, he's a tall dude. He's a few inches taller than me, and I'm pretty tall, so that's crazy.
And so I wear a size 12, and I'm like, I put my foot next to those footprints and I'm like, that's a Bigfoot. I jokingly told myself that's a Bigfoot. But then I started rationalizing. I'm like, okay, so there's either a hobo out here walking around, or I don't know, somebody's playing a trick on me. And I'm out in the middle of nowhere.
You went rational. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is not possible. And so Monday rolled around, nothing happened. Tuesday rolled around, nothing. Well, Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, that changed everything for me. 2020 was a crazy year for everybody, though.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. I woke up late that morning and I was like, well, I'm not going to hear the end of this from the boss. So here I go. I leave the hotel flying to get to the job site. Well, I made it there, and there was somebody at the gate, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm never going to hear the end of this. Well, I unlocked the gate. The guy started following me down in there, and I unlocked the second gate. But every other morning when I was coming into this place, I would see something. I would see deer. I would see turkey. I would see a rabbit, a squirrel, something. Something would cross the road. This morning there was nothing, and I was like, that was kind of weird to me. And so I unlocked the second gate. He followed me. I showed him where to park at so it would be easy for me to load him. He had like two or three pallets of stuff that he had bought, and so I forked it up on the skid steer. I threw it on his trailer, and I sent him on his way. I never seen a soul other than him for the rest of that day. And so I was sitting on a skid steer, and I was playing a game on my phone. I think it was Angry Birds, and it was about 1:30 roll around, 1:30, 1:40, somewhere in that time range. I went to my service truck to get a Coca-Cola and a peanut butter sandwich out of my cooler. Well, I walked over to my service truck, let down the bed. I opened up the cooler. I heard this grouse grunt, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound like a bear, but it could be this bear this guy's been telling me about. So I'm sitting here, and I'm looking, and there's nothing – nothing near the wood line there, nothing in the little field there. And I'm sitting, and this, where I'm at is in this big bowl, and there's ridges on all sides of it. And so I'm sitting here and I'm looking, and there was, the sawmill was right here. So I could not see what was on this side. I can only see what was on this ridge side. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm like, okay, no, I didn't see nothing. So I pulled up my sandwich and my coat, and I cracked open my coat, took a drink of it, and I pulled up my sandwich. I go to take a bite out of it, I heard it again. And I'm like, okay, that is not a bear. So I heard it, and I was like, that's not a bear. Because I grew up hunting and fishing. I know the sounds of the woods. And that was something that I'd never really heard. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking. And up on this ridge, there's a rock wall with a cliff. And there's something moving through the foliage. And I'm like, okay, that's the bear, because I only seen the black coloration, and I figured it was a bear moving through the foliage. And I'm like, okay, this is the bear. Well, I look down, I look back up, I looked down, looked back up. And when I looked down and looked back up the third time, this large black creature is doing the classic peekaboo thing that you always see. It's got its arm wrapped around the tree and it's doing this number. It's like it's swaying from out in behind that tree. And as soon as I seen it, I knew instantly what it was. I was like, oh my God, that's a Bigfoot. These things are real. People aren't crazy. And so I'm sitting there and everything's just happening so fast, so fast, so fast. And I'm like, there's nobody going to believe me if I don't have a picture or a video of this thing. So I pulled out my brand new iPhone 8 Plus. I took a picture and the thing just mysteriously shut off. It was a brand new phone. Nothing wrong with the battery whatsoever. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, what do I do? And so after engaging with this thing for like a minute or two, it just turned around and it walked further up on the ridge. And so I hopped in the truck, I locked the doors, and I cracked the windows because I'm like, what do? I don't call my boss and tell him I just seen a Bigfoot. He'll laugh at me. Yeah. And so I just locked the doors, and I sat there just hoping this thing wouldn't come. And I plugged up the phone, hoping and praying that it would come back on. Well, it did. And sure enough, the picture was there. And I'm like, okay, all right. So I'm still sitting there. I'm like, I'm not going to call my boss and tell him that I'm leaving because I seen a Bigfoot. So I had to stake it out to stay a few more days. So I'm sitting there, I'm doing the paperwork and stuff, and I'm freaking out at every little noise, thinking this thing's just going to come over to the truck and just flip it over. And so around 8:30, 9 o'clock, right around dusky dark, these things started hollering. And I say these things now because I've had spectral analysis done of the audio. And the vocalizations range from 250 hertz all the way up to over 2,000 hertz. And so those things were hollering, and I was like, this is unreal. You know, these things shouldn't exist, but yet they're out here. And so that night, I barely slept. And Thursday morning rolled around. I get out there, I unlock the gates, and I do my normal morning routine, and nobody showed up for the rest of that day. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to try and see if I can find any more of these footprints, because I guarantee you those footprints that I found the other day were from that thing. So I get out and I started looking, and I found a different trail. And this trail went across a dried up creek bed, and it kind of curves and hooks to go to the ridge that the creature was at. Well, I found the trackway, and it came down from the ridge across that creek bed into the sawmill area. And I got a video of that. And like I said, I'm a big old boy, and I could not do the strides in between those tracks. And they were at least 3 or 4 inches longer than my foot. And so I was paranoid. And about the same time that night, they started hollering again. But they're about 15-ish minutes apart. I recorded two sets that night, but they were farther away. But they still emitted that same 2,000 hertz, you know. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, this is crazy. So Friday rolls around, and I get out there, you know, and I make sure everything, you know, whoever came to get their stuff had already got it, and whoever didn't, you know, they're just out of luck because I'm leaving. And so I left, and I went by a little drive-in diners called Robo's, and I got me a bite to eat. And I seen these old timers sitting there, and I was like, you know what? If anybody's going to have the answers, it's going to be these old boys. You know,
always, born, always.
Born and you can, raised, they know.
Yeah, if and you can so, find some old guys sitting at the local diner, they will tell you exactly anything going on in town.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And so I just sat down and I struck up conversation. You know, asked them how their day was going and stuff like that. And, you know, after a minute or two, I kind of dropped the bomb on them. I'm like, you old boys ever seen or heard anything strange? They all got quiet. Well, then eventually one of them spoke up and said, well, what'd you see and hear? And I said this. I showed them the picture. I showed them the tracks, and I let them listen to the sounds, and they all got quiet. Well, one of them eventually spoke up and said, oh, well, those are the devil monkeys. And I said, yeah. Bigfoot? And they're like, yeah, devil monkeys, wood boogers, Sasquatch, Sabe, y'all. It's all the same thing, mountain giants. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's the validation I need. And little did I know that when I would return home, I would face probably the most ridicule that I would ever face. If my parents told me that it was a bear, it was a shadow, and then my friends were like, you know, that's not a Bigfoot, you know, that's pareidolia or whatever. And then the sounds, the sounds was the biggest thing, because they were saying it was coon dogs or elk and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that a lot. But it's, oh, that's just an elk. And I'm like, I know most of the sounds an elk makes, and that ain't that. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, East Tennessee, they reintroduced the elk in 98, I think. And so I'm familiar with that. And so I shut up about it. I ate it up, and I never, for 3 years, I stopped hunting. I stopped fishing. I didn't want nothing to do with the outdoors. And I never told a soul after that. I mean, it got so bad that my friends, you know, they would take a video of me driving down the road. They would see my truck and know my truck because of the big wheels and tires and the lift and all that. Oh, I wonder if he's got Bigfoot in the truck with him. Like, it was so bad.
And we've heard that story so much. You are not alone there. Jeez.
And then, you know, I met my now wife, and it got to the point of where the nightmares were so bad, I would just wake up out of the middle of my sleep. Ugh. And she was like, you know, you need to tell me what's wrong. What's going on? And then I told her what had happened, and, you know, I showed her everything, let her listen to everything. She's like, you know, you got a story here that needs to be told. And I was like, yeah. And so I just decided to do a podcast, and I did. And then I was like, okay, you know, I could share it on more podcasts, you know, and get my story out there, and, you know, maybe be a voice for somebody that doesn't have a voice, you know, let them know that their voice can be heard. And then it got to the point of, was like, I need to get back in the woods. You know, I love hunting, I love fishing, and I need to get back into this. And Thanksgiving of 2023, I decided to get back out in the woods. Well, it took everything in me to step into the woods at first. I got out of the truck, and I was like, okay, I need to just do it. And I did. Pitch black, dark. I hit the woods walking towards my tree stand. And so I was like, okay, you know what? I can do this. I can go out and look for these things. Well, I didn't know how to do Bigfoot research or nothing like that. So I just Googled it, and Scott Carpenter's name had come up. Well, I had learned that he had passed away in August of 23. So I was kind of kicking myself there, and I still kick myself in the butt now for start. I wish I'd have started sooner, but it was the man upstairs time for me to start this when I did. And so I reached out to his son, Travis Carpenter, T Carp. He kind of picked up his dad's channel. And yeah. So I kind of asked him, you know, where can I go and stuff like this, what to look for. And I had my buddy, Glenn, Lord, I love him to death. He actually hooked me up with an area that not a lot of people know about that Scott researched. And he's like, you need to go here. But there's a backstory behind this place. The backstory behind this place is there was a park ranger that was out there taking care of the cemetery area. And this woman comes up from the holler. She's butt naked. She's got huge claw marks all over. And he takes her to the hospital. He leaves. The hospital calls him, tells him that she won't talk to nobody but him. And by the time that he gets back to the hospital, a black SUV pulls up, MI woman, put her in a car, and that woman was never seen or heard from again. And so he kind of threw me into the fire, unbeknownst to him. He literally threw me into the fire because this area is just unbelievable. Like, I've taken several different people out into this area, and they've had their first encounters or experience or some way, shape, or form. And it's just, it's not every time, but, you know, there will be something happening in this area, whether it's Bigfoot, paranormal, or, you know, even dog man, you know, but it's just so amazing and beautiful. Like right here behind, you know, this is so thick with the mountain laurels, the rhododendron. It's just, it's a jungle.
So is that East Tennessee area? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Yep. We get so many stories. It's like Eric and I wrote a book about that area or something, but there's, so we've got this area that you've been brought to, and you've got experiences right off the bat. And now you're a lineman. And one of the things we've heard over and over and over again, and a lot of my witnesses are linemen because they're out in the middle of nowhere that nobody goes, but these things seem to be following the lines for some reason. They know it's a, like a wilderness pathway. A lot of animals have adapted to that. We yeah. know they do. The Florida panther uses those as you know, travel routes, and we think, you know, Bigfoot or skunk apes down there, you know, they all have the different names, the devil monkeys and stuff yeah. like that. Up here, we've got the white things yeah. quite a bit, like more gray colored skin, hair and fur. So do you think that that might, there's some validity to that? Do you think
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely. I couldn't tell you how many times we're out there working on the line. I see tree structures. I see arches. I see the teepees. I see all of it. Twist okay. breaks. The signs are there. And especially if there's a power line that runs by a creek or something, like there's food, there's yeah. water. I mean, they can set up ambush sites on these power lines, you know, and use that to their advantage.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's we've heard that quite a bit. So I feel you there. So, all right. Well, we're going to have to take a break for a minute to take a word from our sponsors, but we'll be right back.
Prepare to be devoured. The Wolves of Wharton is a 6-part complete book series by Erie Travels producer Bo Lake. It has been called dark and visceral, steamy, dramatic, and a fresh take on the werewolf mythos. If you like action, adventure, a large serving of body horror, and some steamy relations, the Wolves of Wharton series is for you. Pick it up wherever books are sold or at linktree.com/bow_lake.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Welcome back, gang. So, oh my gosh, Harley, you validated one of my theories, is that they're following the power lines, which makes me very happy to hear. Now, you said you've had some just strange stuff all over that place. So, and then you've had an encounter with Bigfoot's meaner cousin, the dog man. So let's go right into that. And then we'll keep going with the.
Yeah, absolutely. I've only seen two that I can actually verify and say, and I'll talk about the one that I can actually really describe the best.
Perfect.
January 29th of 2024, just a little over a month into doing real boots on the ground research for Bigfoot. And, you know, I had heard about the dog man, you know, and I didn't really buy into it. You know, I thought it was could be possible, you know, much less Bigfoot being out here. So I was like, you know, I didn't really rule it out too much. And that day, I remember distinctly, you know, I had all intentions to go to my normal area, and I didn't. I ended up flicking it up on a map, and straight across the creek from where I researched, there's a trail that leads to a waterfall. And so I decided to go and try and hike that. And I get there and I pull into this first little spot because I seen the gate they had up. And so I parked and I went past the gate and I started looking around then there. And I had actually found some stick structures back in there, but they were on the ground. They were like the ground glyphs. And these trees were broken off about a foot off the ground. Just, they were clean breaks. They were fresh and still alive. And so they were made into a shape of an asterisk. And I was like, you know, who is going to waste their time? Come out here, go this far off the trail and do something like this. You know, nobody in their right mind is going to do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there looking at that. And I'm like, yeah, this is something. And then I get further moving around in that area more and I find these rock stacks. Now it's always in threes, and why they associate with the number three, I don't know. they were big rocks. I couldn't even pick them up, but they were just stacked in threes, and about 20 foot away, there would be another one. And so I was like, okay, could that be human? Yeah. But still, yet again, this far off of the trail, who is going to do that? And so right. I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, there's some sign in this area, but do I think they're here? Possibly. So I head back to the truck. I get in the truck. I head further up the road to this next trail. I park the truck, get out, and I start hiking. And it was probably about 10, 15-ish minute hike. And I'm zigzagging through there. I'm crossing a couple of bridges. And I remember I came down, and there was a culvert that was washed out. So I had to just walk straight across the culvert. There was no path. And I crossed it, and I come up this hill, and the trail wide off. And the trail to the right was not maintained very well by park services. It was all growed up. And so I really didn't have a choice but to keep going towards the waterfall. And I get going up the trail a little bit there, and I stopped because the trail was worn out by a game trail that cut straight across. And it's not like a normal game trail. I mean, it could have been made by the elk, because there's some elk there very rarely. And I was like, okay, maybe these are elk using this. And so I glanced over to my right, and I see a twist break. And I'm like, okay. So I start going over in that direction. And sure enough, there was a tree probably about that big around, like 3, 5, 6 inches. It was twisted and broke, and it was facing up the mountain. And I looked up again, and I could reach up and about touch that one. It was probably about 8, 8.5 feet. I think I could reach about somewhere in that range. And that other one was double the height of it. And it was twisted and broke facing down the mountain. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay. I'm sitting here, and I'm reasoning how this is possible. I was like, okay, could the wind do this? Yeah. Those were the only two trees that were twisted and broken. There was no
So it wasn't like any other damage. My immediate thought was, all right, if some other damage is, you know, maybe a small twister or something. But now I'm thinking, could be panther, but panthers don't do that to trees. I mean,
something with hands has to twist it and break it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, there's Bigfoot here. Like, these trees were still alive, so that you could see the orange in from where the bark was still alive. And so I'm looking around there and a little bit more, and I'm finding these smaller stick structures. What would be, I would think that the little ones are making. And so I'm like, okay, they're here. And like the sixth sense just goes off. It's like, you know, you're being watched. And so I get back on the trail and I head further up. I come around, there's a little bend, and then there's a real sharp curve. And then that curve goes into another really sharp curve. And I'm like, okay. So I checked my phone before I got to the first curve, and I didn't have no phone service, so I had to try and send my location to my wife over the satellite. And so I'm sitting there, holding my phone up in there, trying to get it to send, and well, it finally sends. And all of a sudden, I get to going around the curve. I had like 30 or 40% battery, and all of a sudden, it says 10% battery, and it just shut off. And I'm like, well, this is deja vu over again. I'm going to see Bigfoot. So I'm standing there in the trail, and I'm getting to the point where I have a decision to make. I can either keep going up the trail a little bit more, or I can turn around and come back. Well, I packed light that trip. I just had on a hoodie, some jeans, and my mutton boots. I think I had a beanie. But I was like, you know, it's starting to get colder, so I'm going to turn around and leave. At that point in time, further up the mountain, you know, it's going to snow a little bit. It starts snowing, and it was getting cold enough to where I could see my breath. And I'm like, okay, it's time to go. Yep. So I came around the curve, and I get a little bit back, almost to the little curve. I hear something behind me, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn, and whatever it is going to be there. Well, I stopped, and I turned, and I seen it. This large, dark brown wolf, essentially. You know, I seen this thing. It was laying down flat on the ground. It had these big yellow glowing eyes, and it had the big German Shepherd-like ears, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, shit. Well, everything is just happening so fast, and this thing pushes itself up with its forearms to a bipedal position, and it takes three steps to a tree, and it props one of its hands up on it and digs its nails into the bark. And I'm getting a really good look at this thing. It's just dark brown, got the German Shepherd-like ears. Its nose is kind of smudged up in the snout. And it is the big old, the jaw really wasn't too long. I mean, you could tell it was a muzzle. And it kind of had like a mane running about to its shoulders. And it was, the top half of it was real wide. And then the bottom half of the body was real thin. It had a big poofy tail like a fox's. And the kicker for me, you know, most stories that you hear about these dog men, they have what would be classified as a hawk, you know, the back legs kicking backwards.
Right.
This thing had forward facing legs like a human. You know, I never really got a good look at its feet, but the hands, I will tell you, this is the best comparison that I can ever give for what these hands look like. They literally look like a giant raccoon hand. That's the best description that I can give for those hands. It's just, it's human-like with claws, and it literally looks like a giant raccoon.
That's Bray Road. Bray Road said that exact same thing, that it, and people were like, what? And they never put that in the books or the report. But if you read the reports, it's, it sounded like raccoon hands, but they said otherwise a freaking werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the only, they don't say freaking. Yeah. And yeah, no, man, that's right out. And so now what happens at that point?
So I'm sitting there, and as I'm looking into this thing's eyes, I will say, I always tell people this. When you look into the eyes of a Bigfoot, there is a humanness about them. Mm-hmm. It's human, but not human. But when you look into the eyes of one of these dog men, it's different. It's evil. And I had, like, visions or premonitions while I was looking into this thing's eyes of my wife being a widow without me, my kids growing up without me, you know, me being a missing 411 case. Nobody was ever going to know what was going to happen to me. And so I had a fight or flight instinct. And so I'm sitting there and I'm backpedaling and I'm locking eyes with this thing. And all of a sudden I just turned and I ran. And let me tell you, it is very hard to run in muck boots. Very hard. And I will tell you, I have to this day still never moved as what I did that day. I mean, my long legs were pumping. And I get to the point of where I'm running down the trail, and I get to the culvert, and I cross the culvert, and I kind of glanced over my shoulder, and this thing is not chasing me from the trail. It is off of the trail in the foliage, in the brush, coming through that way chasing me. You know, I can hear it crashing. And so, you know, I'm not turning around, you know, because if I turn around, I'm going to slip and fall. And so I'm still booking it. I get to the next little spot that there's a bridge. I crossed it and I kind of done the same glance back again. And I could just see the outline of it just pushing through the laurels. And I'm almost positive that was when it stopped following me. I do not know for sure. I was still running to the truck. And so I got in the truck and I booked it out of there. And my wife really wanted me to stop, and because she didn't want anything to happen to me, you know. But and this this was the kicker for me, you know. I never really thought about praying or anything before I would go out in the woods. But I remember that that day I did distinctly pray before I went to the woods, and ultimately I think that is what kind of kept that thing at bay from me.
Little protection there never hurts. That,
yeah, absolutely. And
so, I thought my intention goes a long way, and that's exactly all it takes.
And so a few days later, that was January 29th of 2024, February 2nd of 2024, I decided to go back, and I had two friends with me, Rick Atchestain and Stephen Woods. They're from Virginia. They had about a 5.5-hour drive. And I took them to that exact spot of where this thing was, because when it had its hand on that tree, I remember that it kind of gave a reference point for a size, to get a size on this thing. And so where its hand was, it was just a little bit above the head. This thing was 8 feet tall, not including the ears. It was 46 inches at the shoulders, and the head was like 17 inches.
That's a big boy. Damn.
But here's the kicker. from where it was laying to the tree that it took three steps to was 28 feet. And that's an 8.5 foot stride.
That makes the ones from Dog Soldiers look small from that move.
But here's the other kicker. We had a compass with us, and where it was laying at, the compass was going haywire.
Now see, that's the thing we've heard a couple of guys. We were talking before we went on that a couple of guys that are on a couple of the prominent Bigfoot shows and do the circuit have come to me privately and said, "Hey, I've had some weird stuff happen, and that I can't talk about because otherwise I'll get laughed out of the Bigfoot community." I'm glad we've got, you know, someone young and entering the field fresh who isn't afraid to talk about this stuff.
It's definitely what needs to be talked about a lot more, because my generation, you know, I hope there's more people my age that get into this, but, you know, unfortunately there's probably not going to be. And, you know, I have to kind of keep it going, you know, kind of get more people into this. And it's like the paranormal and the cryptids, it's all intertwined and connected. You know, you go to a cemetery or a graveyard, you know, you're going to have some ghost stuff happen, much less if you pay close attention, there's going to be some cryptid stuff happening too. And that was another thing that I found out. I looked on the maps of where I had this dogman encounter, right in between two cemeteries, but they were so old there was no tombstones or nothing, so I didn't know they were there.
Old settler cemeteries. There's still, like, Cades Cove's got four that are still missing, and that thing's driven every day, and there's millions of campers there, and nobody's found these other three cemeteries because the markers are gone. It's, you know, it's just lost. And shoot, St. Petersburg, Florida, where I spent 30 years, we're still looking for four of the cemeteries that were there. They're probably under buildings. Yeah, no, but that's just it. It's, if you start looking into this, you'll realize it snowballs. One thing snowballs into another, snowballs into another. And
it's,
that's
definitely a never-ending rabbit hole.
No, it's one of those people talk about, you know, seeing a ghost, and then the next day they see a Bigfoot. But when you go to a Bigfoot conference and you try to talk about ghosts, they'll look at you and go, nope, you know, I'm not interested.
Don't bring that nonsense here. That's what
we don't want the woo here. And then, you know, but you go to the ghost conferences and you say, hey, what about Bigfoot in the area? Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go to the UFO conference and they won't talk to any of you.
And there's nobody that likes to meet in the middle. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things that I come from. You know, this is all connected, and it's hard to kind of get people to listen to you about it. But, you know, there's, for just as many people that won't listen to you about it, there's just as many that will.
That's true. And that's true. And that's why we do the show we do, is because we're like, hey, we're in the middle of all this, and we realize there's connections here that people aren't looking into, and that whole high strangeness.
Exactly.
It's all connected. And
you know, right. whether these Bigfoot come out of portals, I don't know whether they make them.
You know, it's a big jump for that,
it's a big jump. Or, you know, maybe, you know, something else is making these portals, and maybe the Bigfoot use them. You never know. I mean, it's seriously, it's a never ending rabbit hole.
Yeah. We have one guy came up with one of our early episodes, talked about the Bigfoot might be ghosts of cavemen. And it's like, holy cow, makes a lot of sense. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And I'm like, well, that would explain why you can't catch Nessie. Nessie's a ghost of a dinosaur. But so I can't argue any of that. Until we know, we don't know. And that's why we call it preternatural stuff we don't understand yet. Hopefully someday we do.
Exactly. And that's like the feral people too. The feral people are really catching my interest.
Yeah. I go back to moon-eyed people and feral people and all that. And they're all in the same area. And there's tons of that around. And it's like, if you start putting the dots together, you're like, wait a second, there's more to this, especially like the little people of the Cherokee, the Fae, and all that. You start going, wait a minute. There is more out here than we know. And especially the Appalachians. They're the
oldest mountain chain in the world. And those hollers, people have probably never stepped foot in.
Yeah. And like I said, there's the stories there are the same stories from Scottish Highlands and Ireland, because it's the same mountain range. You know, we split apart back then. All right. So we've got the Bigfoot conference coming up this weekend, and you're leading an expedition afterwards. So this is airing that morning. So yeah. If you want to get a part, you better reach out to Harley quick. But Harley, tell us about this expedition you're doing while the Bigfoot conference is going on. So
yeah. So Friday during the day, I'm going to get some people out there and, you know, try to explore a little bit, kind of show where some of this stuff has happened at. And actually this Saturday, one of my documentaries that I'm appearing in drops, Enigma in the Smokies. It drops this Saturday. And then, of course, my highly anticipated documentary, Operation Smoke, takes place sometime the end of this year. There is an area right there where Operation Smoke happened, and you'll just have to wait to see that film. We got some incredible evidence from then. But, you know, this camp out, there's not really too many spots, but, you know, for those that can come and would like to come, you know, I would love to have you come hang out, even if you don't camp. You know, but like I said, there's maybe enough spots for like maybe 6 or 7 people to camp at. But, you know, it's honestly just about the fellowship for me. You know, I don't want to take nobody's money or nothing like that. I just want people to come out, have a good time, and just, you know, enjoy the woods and the outdoors. And, you know, I'm expecting, you know, maybe 10 or 12 people to show up, you know, I'll be happy with that, honestly. And so Friday, we're going to do that during the day. And then, of course, we got the VIP dinner Friday night. And then, of course, the conference on Saturday, which ends at 6 o'clock. But, you know, right after the conference, we're going to be right back out there. And then we'll probably hang around for a little bit on Sunday and leave then. But, you know, I'm really excited. You know, I've never really hosted anything like this. And, you know, it's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I wish I was wish I was able to do that with you, but we'll try to get some people out there. So Erie Travelers out there tuning in, reach out to Harley, and we'll put his links at the end here. We'll put them on the notes and stuff. But I'm excited for that. I think that'll be freaking awesome. So
it's gonna be a blast.
All right, so you're doing the round table at the conference. Have you done one of these before?
Well, my first conference I ever spoke at was the Georgia Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my very first one.
Now you were with you're with Tim and the crew from North Carolina Investigates for that, right? So
yes.
Yeah, we've had most of them on the show. They're all great guys. So
George actually had his first sighting in where the campout's gonna be taking place.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Alfalfa.
Nice. Nice. So good. So we know there's events happen there. There's a lot of witnesses in that area. So that's even more reason to hang out with Harley. Who knows? Well, you might be the one to probably get that.
Back in April, there was 3 that saw their first one.
Wow.
So when that documentary drops, we got killer footage. And it's killing me not to share it. It really is.
Yeah, that's always the hard part is you want to share it immediately. But you also, if you do that, then it gets out there and you can't claim it after 5 minutes. And
exactly. Everybody else.
Especially now with all the AI freaking guys that's stealing your videos and posting it. And with the AI voiceovers going, this just happened in, you know, such and such, you know, New York. And you're like, wait a minute, that's freaking my footage from Georgia. Yeah,
exactly, man. And it's a shame people have to do that, but it's just people being human.
Yeah, it's, you know, they all want their 15 minutes of social media fame, but yeah, that, and people try to understand that. It's like, we're not trying to make money on these documentaries and stuff like that. It's just, we're trying to make sure copyright and everything else is settled. It takes time and some of these guys are like, oh, it should just be about science and boots on the ground. We do got to eat, and it is important to make a little bit of money and to have a little bit of that credibility and clout. And so I hate to say that, but it's true. And now paranormal team.
I don't go out there and bust my ass off for nothing. I want to raise awareness. I am strictly doing this to benefit myself and leave something behind for my children to be like, wow, Dad went out and looked for these things and he actually found them.
Yeah, he found stuff. Yeah. And who knows, you might be the one to document it. And then we got our skeptic society can go, oh, okay, our worldview has changed. And that's what we're hoping for, gang. That's what we're hoping for with all this. All right. Well, Harley, let's do shameless self-promotion time. Where can people follow you?
My best way, I would say, is my Facebook group, Bigfoot Reports and Data on Facebook. It's got 6,000 members in it. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can just message me on Messenger, Harley Owens. I have Instagram and TikTok as well. It's all under the same name, so it's pretty easy to find me. I like being easy. You know, my name was I never wanted the name to be that. You know, I'm kicking myself in the butt about it now, you know, because like when I was first getting into this, I was like, oh, I can do this and punch numbers and do all this stuff. Well, I'm not a numbers kind of guy. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to stick with it because people have already found me and know where to find me, you know, and it's just it's too late to kind of do a whole rebrand.
Yeah, I get you there. We had that same problems. I was Erie, Florida for forever, and I can't kill that site because that's where I still get 50% of my emails and reports are from that. So that'll never go away. All right. So the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference coming up Saturday. When's your next one after that? What are you doing? Where can they find you next appearance?
Tennessee Wildman and Crypticon in McMinnville, Tennessee, August 16th.
Yeah, we'll be there for that one too. Yeah, we're following each other's footsteps there. We'll be there with I think that's Jesse Doyle, one of the speakers there from Hellbent Holler. We love her, and she's great.
They'll be at Gatlinburg too, Jesse and Joe.
Yeah, Jesse and Joe will be there. They're one of the main speakers there, so we're excited to talk to them again. And then they'll be talking Land Between the Lakes. That's their area. And you've been doing some stuff up there too, you said.
It's a whole different can of worms.
Yeah, it's different from the mountains. It's that's a lot of swamp and other stuff, right? And I haven't been there in a couple of years, and I've been meaning to get back. So
it definitely has a overbearing, spooky vibe that I'm not used to, and I don't really like going up there by myself. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't.
No, that's one I would say always go with a buddy at least. And now let's give some quick advice. You're still fresh to the game, so let's say somebody wants to start investigating. Yeah. Let's just give them a quick little advice here.
Go in with an open mind. You're not going to go out there every time and see or hear these things. Keep your head on a swivel. You know, if you hear something, you probably did. You know, unless something's calling your name, no, you didn't hear it. But any other sound, you've got to just tune yourself in with nature. You know, if you have to, just go out there somewhere and sit. Wait for about an hour. You know, it takes about an hour for nature to somewhat kick back in, you know, because you're somewhat of a predator, I would guess you would say, and just go in, be patient. Patience is key. You know, let them come to you, which they always do that anyway. You know, you're not going to go out there and chase this thing down. It's going to come to you. You're, like I always say, you're not the predator. You are the prey. You know, I'm not saying that the Bigfoot eat people or anything like that. They are watchers. They like to watch, you know, they like to just see what you're doing. You're making sure that you're not doing anything that you're not supposed to be. And I will say this, one thing that I absolutely cannot stand is people that just go out there and throw their trash. That is just the biggest thing. You got to respect them in their home. I mean, how would somebody feel if I came into their home and just trashed their place? Yeah, they probably wouldn't like that. So, you know, you got to respect their home. And, you know, and this is another thing. There's a vast amount of wilderness that is, you know, waiting to be explored. You know, go in there and just be patient, because patience pays off. And it's paid off for me more times than I can count. But the biggest thing that I always tell people is to stay prayed up for the unseen forces that are at hand, because there's a lot of ancient spirits in the woods.
The reason the Cherokee called them the old man of the woods, and they're the reason so many other natives just said, look, respect them, because this is their home. They were here before us, they'll be here long after us. And that's what we got to realize. So Harley, thank you so much for coming on. We've been trying to get this together for months, and it's just the way of the world, you know, that's how these things go. So,
Yeah, man, I'm going to go take a shower and wake up at 4 a.m. and head to work.
All right. Well, get some rest. Have a good night. And thanks again. And we'll put all the links to your website and everything down there. And we'll see you at conferences galore ahead, I'm sure.
Absolutely, man.
We got to get you with our buddies Connor Flynn and Stacy Brown. Those are our
Stacy.
Yeah, they're great peeps, and they are wild men like you. They've got the same energy as you. If we get you three together, we're gonna solve Bigfoot in a minute. You guys are gonna find him in a second. So
it'd be a good time.
That'd be good. Yeah, Connor's a ferret on a double espresso. So, and then Stacy is the wild man who knows his stuff. So we'll get you guys.
I'm a bloodhound in the woods. So
there you go.
Whenever I find something, you better be keeping up with me.
Yep, I'll be your guy in the chair. I'll just go over the evidence and I'll recommend places for you. But, oh my gosh, again, thanks so much. And now, travelers, thank you for joining us for this. Thanks, Harley, for coming on. Thanks for our Patreon members for keeping this show afloat and keeping us on the road and keeping us traveling. And for those out there that want to go out in the woods and want to go Bigfoot hunting, just remember, bring extra cameras. Bring extra batteries, bring all the things to survive, bring a good GPS and a good map, and bring a good compass or two, because you never know, and always have that backup stuff, because if you think you need it, you probably will.
Yep.
And with that, we'll see you on the other side.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.